radio has changed our lives and possibly saved our lives.
This is P.K. Subban of the Nashville Predators.
This is Philip Forsberg of the Nashville Predators.
Hi, this is Pete Weber, the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville.
Now, broadcasting live from high atop the WNSR Broadcasting Tower. And against all better judgment, it's time for Predneck Nation Radio.
Everybody loves the soldiers until they come home and stop fighting.
The Renegades of Puck are ready to take you on an all-skate around the NHL with all the news and updates you need.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
And now, here's your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier.
Welcome in, everybody. It's time for another episode of Predneck Nation Radio. That's right. It's a Predneck takeover of Nashville Sports Radio. I am your host and captain, Crazy Charlie Saulnier. And Renegades, I need all of you to report to the trench because it's time for Hockey Trench Warfare on this year's fine radio station as the second place Central Division Nashville Predators take on the fourth place Dallas Stars tonight in Dallas, the fifth and final regular season meeting between these two Central Division rivals will take place. The Nashville Predators currently, after 61 games played, 34-22-5. That's good for 73 points. They are 3 points behind first place Winnipeg. The Dallas Stars are in fourth place in the division, 29-24-5. They have 63 points on the season. They are 10 points behind the Preds, and they are 4 points behind St. Louis for a guaranteed Central Division playoff spot. At home, the Dallas Stars are 18-8-2. And on the road, the Preds, 15-11-4. The Dallas Stars are one of the lowest scoring teams in the entire league. Only 145 goals scored on the season, while the Nashville Predators have scored 186. The Preds have a goal differential of plus 26. When you look at the NHL ranks for the Dallas Stars, 16th in the league on the power play and 6th on the penalty kill, 29th in goals for, only 2.5 per game. Goals against, 3rd, 2.57. Of course, the Dallas Stars love playing low-scoring games. Blake Como is going to be out tonight for the Dallas Stars with an upper body injury. For the Nashville Predators, Mika Salamaki, the only player still listed on injured reserve. And for the Nashville Predators, of course, you know they have the 31st ranked power play in the NHL. They have been in that position for quite some time now. That is the worst rank you can have out of the 31 teams in the NHL. 12th on the penalty kill, 13th goals for, a 3.03 per game, and now 4th on goals against, 2.61 per game. And for the Preds, after leaving Dallas tonight, that'll wrap up a quick two-game road trip. They'll come home and play some competition that is nowhere near them in the standings, but that hasn't necessarily been a great thing for the Preds this season, but an opportunity to pick up a handful of points this week as the Nashville Predators will host L.A. on Thursday, Colorado on Saturday, and Edmonton on Monday before heading off to St. Louis and Winnipeg. So the Nashville Predators will have 3 nice setup home games this week before 2 incredibly critical road games within the division coming up after that. In the season series, the Nashville Predators on the 10th of November, it was a 5-4 win in Dallas in overtime. Josi got the game-tying goal with 43 seconds remaining in Ekholm, got the game-winning goal in overtime. Then they played again on December the 27th, and it was Dallas beating the Nashville Predators 2-0. Khudobin had 49 saves at Bridgestone Arena on the 2nd of February. These two teams met, and it was Dallas winning 3-1 here at Bridgestone Arena. Sagan, Como, and Janmark all with a goal in that game. Dallas turned around and came right back just a couple days later on the 7th, and the Nashville Predators were able to defeat Dallas this time at Bridgestone Arena 3-2 in overtime, the loops and swoops game, where the Nashville Predators controlled the puck for the entirety of overtime. overtime, which was 43 seconds, and Johansson put the puck in the net. Khudobin's been outstanding against the Nashville Predators all season long, so you would expect him to be in the lineup tonight. You'd also expect Pekka-Rinne to be in the lineup tonight because UC Saros is probably still exhausted from the game the other night in Vegas. When you look at the Dallas Stars statistically, you're not going to be blown away, but Tyler Seguin is always incredibly dangerous, and with 24 goals on the season, six of them coming on the power play, you have definitely got to respect him. He has 54 points and leads the team. Radulov second on the team at 46. Then you drop down to Jamie Benn at 39, and then everyone else 27 or below. So for the Dallas Stars, not a very impressive statistic team out there on the ice, but still clearly dangerous because the Nashville Predators have had difficulty with them all season long. Khudobin on the season, who you expect to be in net tonight, 27 games played, a losing record of 10-12-3, a 2.52 goals against average, save percentage very respectable at 921, and of course it would be when he's stopping so many shots when he's out there for performing for the Dallas Stars. For the Nashville Predators, Ryan Johansson of course leads the team in scoring after 59 games played for him. He has 11 goals and 42 assists. That's 53 points on the season, 13 power play assists. Roman Josi second on the team in scoring at 46 points. 35 of those are assists. Then Ekholm, 41 points, 34 assists. By the way, great to have Matthias Ekholm back in the lineup. He missed one game due to illness. No problem. Expected him to be back, and he returned as expected. Of course, Forsberg now 20 goals. Arvidsson, 26 goals in the season. Smith has 16. Bonino at 14. Sissons and Yarncroke at 10 apiece. And Hartman crossing over to double digits with 10 goals now. Pekka-Rinne on the season, 41 games played, 20-15-3, 2.47 goals against average, and a 9.15 save percentage, and three shutouts on the season. Last time we saw Pekka-Rinne on the ice, he had an absolutely great performance and a huge second period to keep the Predators in that game. I expect a big game out of Pekka-Rinne tonight. Last game for the Nashville Predators, the beginning of a short two-game road trip in Vegas to close out the regular season series. The Preds had won the previous two meetings in the season series. We see the lines shape up and shake up. Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson, Hartman, Bonino, and Smith, Fiala, Turris, and Sissons, Yarncroak, Boyle, and Grimaldi, and then your D pairs, Josi, Ellis, Ekholm, Subban, and Ham, Hughes, and Weber. Getting into the game, 5:17, Saros save on Pacioretty after Reeves causes a turnover with a huge hit on Yannick Weber. Just freight trained him completely clean, and it was a big-time hit causing that turnover into a scoring chance. 7:19, Grimaldi gets a shot. It's stopped by Malcolm Subban. 13:43, Schmidt backhand off of the rush. It's stopped by Josi Saros. The rebound goes up and over the top of the net at 14:27. PK Subban's shot is stopped by Malcolm Subban. Hartman gets a rebound attempt, but it goes wide at 15:05. Sissons turns the puck over at the blue line, and Josi Saros has to come up with a huge save. Just after this, Colton Sissons seems to redeem himself by scoring a goal, but it is challenged and it is offsides. No goal. It was the right call. Kind of hard to believe that the linesman missed this one in live action, so we continue on with no score in the game. 16:35, UC Saros has to come up with a huge save, and as Vegas starts to put the pressure on at 17:17, Pacioretty picks up his 17th of the season. The puck was put on net, it was covered by UC Saros, and then just plowed until it goes into the net. A lot of things could have happened right here. Perhaps UC Saros could have gotten a quick whistle. The defenseman could have come and lifted a stick, cleared out a body, or Saros could have sat on top of that puck a little bit harder, but it ends up in the back of the net, and Pacioretty did what you're supposed to do in hockey. He followed his shot, he goes to the net hard, and he jams away, and he gets rewarded with a goal, and Vegas is now up 1-0 in this game. At 19 minutes into the first, PK Subban's going to the box, 2 minutes for interference, but then Marchessault is also picking up a penalty shortly after, and that's 2 minutes for head contact. We'll get a 4-on-4 for a total of 120. That'll carry on over into the second period. Vegas outshoots Nashville in the first period, 17-11. Arvidsson's shot stopped by Malcolm Subban as the power play carryover expires to start this second period. UC Saros at the 220 mark comes up with a huge save on Peary with the cuff of the glove and knocks it out of danger. 5:37, Saros, another big save, this time on Tuck, and 9:18, Arvidsson's going to the box, 2 minutes for holding. UC Saros comes up with three saves on one sequence with Pacioretty's rebound around from the low slot. He has great anticipation getting across on this one. Peary, though, is able to put the puck into the net shortly after his 10th of the season. It gives Vegas a 2-0 lead. Forsberg blocked the shot, and it went right back to Peary. He rips it again. This is Vegas's 30th shot on net in the game. They have a 2-0 lead at the midway point and 30 shots on goal. 13:09, McNabb's going to the box, 2 minutes for tripping, and the Nashville Predators accomplish absolutely nothing off of this. 17:11, Saros makes a save on Pacioretty, and then a rebound save, and then gets a little help from Ekholm. At 17:31, Hartman cuts to the front of the net, and Subban is able to get the leg across and make a big save. Great move by Hartman on this one. At the end of the second period, Vegas out shooting Nashville now 41-19. Looking for pushback in the third period. We hit 1:56 of the third period, and the Nashville Predators are suddenly down 3-0 as Theodore has his 9th. The defense turns the puck over, and Theodore scores from in close range. 4:17, Kevin Fiala tries to force the Preds back into this one by breaking up Malcolm Subban's shutout, getting the Preds' first goal of the game, his 10th of the season. Ekholm's pass springs Fiala. It's a partial breakaway. He makes a deke and tucks the puck into the net. Excellent play by Ekholm. Excellent finish by Fiala. Vegas, a 3-1 lead. The Preds, a little bit of life, a little bit of momentum, forcing Malcolm Subban to make a big save on Victor Arvidsson at 6:49, and then Kevin Fiala hits the post at 7:15. At 10:57, McNabb goes to the box, 2 minutes for a puck over the glass. Preds, a chance to get themselves back into this game, but they're out there playing catch all around the top of the zone. Too many passes, no movement of bodies, and the power play would come and it would go. At 13:48, Lindberg picks up his 4th. Vegas now has 4, and the Preds are down by 3. Ham Hughes turned the puck over behind the net, and then it's in the back of the net. A Ham Hughesian turnover on the road in Vegas. 15:17, Pacioretty's 18th. He skates over the blue line and shoots. The D backed off, as they always do, and Vegas suddenly has a 5-1 lead, and UC Saros is looking exhausted out there in late in the third period. And he should be. 18:26, Bonino goes to the box, 2 minutes for tripping. It means absolutely nothing. It lets Vegas get to 50 shots on goal by the finish of the game. Nashville finishes with 30, Vegas 5, Nashville 1. That's your final. The Nashville Predators picked up 4 out of 6 points from the Vegas Golden Knights this season. The Vegas Golden Knights are a very good team, but the Nashville Predators should not be dropping a game 5-1 on the road, nor should they ever be giving up 50 shots on goal against any of their goaltenders. UC Saros was actually great in this game for a very long stretch of hockey. Wore down in the third period. It also looked like pretty much everybody had given up towards the end of this game when the goals started just piling up for the Vegas Golden Knights. That's a dangerous team. That's a playoff team, and the Nashville Predators will definitely have to bring a much better effort against Vegas if they end up meeting for a best of seven somewhere in the spring or the early summer. It would be tremendous to have those two teams play against each other. I think that they match up against each other very well, and they get after each other very hard. And UC Saros started all 3 games against the Vegas Golden Knights this season, and he was absolutely great. You'd have to wonder, and I'm just posing the question, if these two teams ended up playing in the playoffs, since UC Saros had so much success against the Vegas Golden Knights this year, would UC Saros get an opportunity to play in the playoffs against the Vegas Golden Knights? We all know when the Nashville Predators get to the playoffs, Pecorino usually gets each and every start, but with UC Saros taking over more and more responsibility, 20 games to go in the season, the Nashville Predators are going to be a playoff team. Might be time to start having that conversation as well. Maybe Mastrodon Domus will have an opinion on that. We'll get into that at some point in time. The Renegades in the trench this morning will be Mastrodonis in the second period, Felder in the third period. Well, you know me. I'm your host, and I'm your captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny. Remember, you can always give Predneck Nation a like on Facebook and a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation. Go to WNSR.com. They've got you covered. If you go to PredneckNation.com, it'll just redirect you to that fantastic new radio station website here at Nashville Sports Radio. And remember, if you're listening out there, you can always hear us on 560 AM and 95.9 FM around Davidson County. You can also hear us on 107.9 FM as you're headed down through Smyrna into Murfreesboro. And good morning and welcome, Drakesboro, Kentucky, on 103.9. The WNSR app, free to download at any point in time and always free to listen. And WNSR.com if you prefer to stream on your desktop. So there's your ways to find Predneck Nation Radio. And we sure do appreciate each and every one of you for checking in with us live at 5 on game days. Encore presentations at 6 after the Johnny Ballpark Frank show when we have the opportunities and holes in the schedule to do so. I am your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio, and that's right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Victor Arvidsson of the Nashville Predators. You're listening to Predneck Nation Radio.
Welcome back in, Predneck Nation Radio. Your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier. If you're listening to Predneck Nation Radio, you can always check us out at PredneckNation.com. Give us a like on Facebook, a follow on Twitter. We're streamlined like that, so just Predneck Nation anywhere. iTunes, SoundCloud, and an on-demand world. We know you're always very busy. And speaking of that, in case you missed the episode on Saturday, legendary renegade of puck, Dan D. Bradley, jumped back in the trench with me for an episode. Can't thank him enough for coming on by the studio and helping me out. It was a tough weekend health-wise for me, but we got in, we got the show done, and it was great hearing his voice back on this radio station and on the show, and looking forward to having him back in. We'll at least have him on to talk a little bit about the wrap-up of the trade deadline and preview the upcoming playoff season for the Nashville Predators. So always great to have Dan in studio. You even heard Jonathan Schaefer's voice in the end of that as we did a little bit of a throwback segment. We revisited the diary of Nick Spaulding, one of my favorite bits that we've ever done on this show. Victor Arvidsson bringing us back from break, 37 games played on the season. He has 26 goals. To compare anyone else to him as far as production is totally unfair, but I'm probably going to do that here in this segment at some point with Mostradamus. He is a man so far in the future. He's going to tell you everything that's going to happen tonight in Dallas between the Preds and the Stars. You can find him on Twitter at GreekGoalie35, and he is, of course, the starting goaltender of Predneck Nation. How you doing today, my friend?
Charlie, doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding. Let's go back and revisit what happened in Vegas the other night. And I know a lot of people don't like to do that when it comes to memories of Vegas. Juuse Saros, exceptional in this game until he got incredibly wore down late in the third period. 45 out of 50. Greg, in the NHL, it's asking way too much of your goaltender to have to face 50 shots in a game. I thought Juuse Saros did a tremendous job holding the Preds in this game, at least until late.
The fact that they were only down 2-0 after two periods is a minor miracle in itself. I mean, particularly in that second period, I mean, just absolutely an onslaught from Vegas on Juuse Saros, and two goals given up kept his team, I guess, somewhat in the game. If there was any effort out there, they would still have been in the game for the third period. And, of course, they played for about a good five-minute stretch there after they were down 3-0 and got it to 3-1 and nearly made it 3-2. But that was pretty much the only hockey they played the entire night. So, Juuse Saros, they say you buy a goaltender a steak for a bad performance in front of them. I'd be very interested to see what the Preds bought Juuse Saros while they're out in Vegas after that performance.
Mostradamus, I just had a thought real quick, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but your opinion, since Juuse Saros got all three starts against the Vegas Golden Knights this year, he was actually very good in all three of those games, and he is starting to take over more and more responsibilities here as the Predators' goaltender. 20 games to go after tonight, time to start talking. Is there the possibility he actually gets a start in the playoffs this year?
I would say something would have to be up with Pecorino. If he's struggling, I would say Saros gets a start. I would never assume that Saros is going to get a start just based off of, well, he played really well against the team. And I completely understand where you're going with this, particularly if you look at the standings right now. If the Preds play this Dallas team in the playoffs, it's not going to be Ben Bishop against the Nashville Predators. I can virtually guarantee that it's going to be Anton Khudobin to start off this series against Nashville if that should happen. So I totally get that mindset because, look, you're throughout the entire season, you're rotating goalies. They're not playing 82 games in there. They're playing closer to 55, 60 games. So why play them every single playoff game out there? So playoffs, particularly mentally draining as well on goaltenders. So it wouldn't be a bad idea to give them a start. But unless something is up with Reiner, he's going through a bad stretch. I don't see Saros playing.
No, I agree with you completely on that. Let's talk about the defense from the other night in Vegas. Wasn't particularly good. The only two on the score sheet that weren't in the negative, PK Subban, actually a plus one. Ekholm was even. Roman Josi ends up leading the team in ice time in this game at 25-47, but most of that, Greg, was because of the offensive push with the Preds being down so much in the third period. So just talk to me overall about the defensive performance the other night in Vegas.
Pathetic, quite frankly. It was frustrating to watch that game, and Brandon Felder's mentioned it, Bradley's mentioned it. Soft, just completely soft in their own zone, and it's really embarrassing to watch, particularly that first goal that Pacioretty scores. It's a dump in, it's a bouncing puck. Should Saros have had it? Maybe. But again, that puck is bouncing just before it gets to him. Those are tricky. It's like a football bouncing in front of you. You don't know which way it's going to go. So he got his body in front of it, stopped it initially, was a little bit too deep by the time it got to him. Maybe he should have came way out to field it. Rene probably would have come about 15 feet out of his net to field that puck so it doesn't bounce in on him. Ellis and Josi, what the hell are you doing on that play? I mean, they basically skated up to Saros and skated to the side of him, just stood there, assuming he would cover it, didn't block out Pacioretty in the least. Pacioretty gets two or three whacks in there, and the puck, of course, goes in the net. You've got to be better than that. I mean, that's terrible defensive play. At the very least, get your body in front of Pacioretty so he can't challenge your goaltender like that in case the puck does get loose. And Saros, at no point did he have that puck. So that play was terrible. Ellis on the fifth goal, no idea who he was guarding. It was a two-on-two into the zone, and he's standing off to the side of the forward taking that shot. I think it may have been Pacioretty again. And just lets him get a clean shot in on Saros. Should Saros have stopped it? Maybe. But Ryan Ellis backing off, and not playing his angle right at all. I mean, it was just terrible to watch guys that are supposedly this talented play that poorly in front of a great young goaltender.
It's especially frustrating when you see Ryan Ellis stand guys up at the blue line on the penalty kill on a regular basis, and it's not an issue whatsoever for him. But then when a guy gets into the zone, he backs off the way he did on that particular play and allows the player to get an easy look at the net. From the forwards' perspective, at the end of the night, you don't want to see Philip Forsberg having 5 hits and 2 takeaways in only 16 minutes and 1 second of ice time. That means the game is not going particularly well. Kevin Fiala was the best forward on the ice for the Nashville Predators. He had a goal the other night. He hit a post, and he looked good with just 2 shots on net and only 12:34 time on ice. Mastrodamas, we saw a new combination of lines 2 through 4. Unfortunately, at the end of the night, though, not a whole lot of different results.
Kudos to Kevin Fiala. I mean, he has stepped up his game here as of late. Kind of peculiar that he had the second lowest ice time out of any forward out there, considering how well he played. It was like Laviolette didn't get, you know, usually if somebody's playing really well, Laviolette will bump him up a line or get him some more ice time out there to try to generate some more offense. But Fiala, good for him. He finally finished on a play that he should have finished, and then he hit the post again after that. So he was hungry out there. It was good to see him finally get something going. Will that be a start of some many more goals to come? We'll have to wait and see.
Johansson ended up leading the forwards in time on ice in that game, 18:39. He was 12-9 on faceoffs, and overall, this is a night where the Preds could not wait to get out of Vegas, get to Dallas tonight. The Preds did manage to win 2 out of 3 against a very good Vegas team this year, taking 4 out of 6 potential points. This game, the effort was not there, and their goaltender kept them from being completely embarrassed. The score itself, bad enough. It could have been a whole lot worse. You see Saros facing 50 shots against the Vegas Golden Knights the other night. Now the Preds, Greg, they'll close out the season series, at least the regular season series, against the Dallas Stars tonight. We are very familiar with this team as we have seen them. Now this will be the third time just in the month of February. On the 2nd, on the 7th, they played both times here in Nashville. Dallas won the first one 3-1. Nashville won the second one 3-2 in overtime in the loops and swoops game. I'll always enjoy saying that one as Johansson got the game-winning goal in overtime. These two teams clearly do not like each other, and it's going to be an 11-month build-up to the Cotton Bowl and the Winter Classic.
Ben Bishop's still on IR for Dallas, so not even a chance of seeing him in that, which is bad for the Preds because the Preds have historically owned Ben Bishop throughout his career. So Khudobin again in that. Rene obviously will be back in there. Saros might get 2 weeks off after that performance, quite frankly. Should be a very low-scoring game. Dallas loses 4 of their last 5 games, been shut out the last 2 games on the road against Tampa and Carolina. They're going to be a hungry team coming back on home ice. It's frustrating to hear that phrase all the time, that teams are hungry when they're struggling, because you should be hungry 100% of the time. But particularly when you're on a losing streak, you should jump on them and put that doubt in their mind that they're going to lose again. That's my take on that. But Nashville has not shown me enough here as of late that they're going to do that. When they have the lead, they just sit back and let the other team own possession of the puck. So I honestly don't think the Preds will win this one. I think Dallas does come away with a victory and gets closer to St. Louis in the standings to try to fight for that third spot in the Central Division.
The Preds' only visit to Dallas this season was a 5-4 victory in overtime on the 10th of November. Yossi had the game-tying goal with 43 seconds to go in the game, and Ekholm had the game-winning goal in overtime. Central Division rivals will get after each other tonight, second and fourth, respectively, in the Central. The St. Louis Blues, thanks to a 10-game winning streak, have roared from all the way in last place to third in the Central Division, and it's going to be one hell of a final 20 games as the Preds will be the first team in the Western Conference to get to the 20 games remaining mark on the season. So for the Preds, they will have to play a little less hockey than everybody else. So there'll be a little bit of scoreboard watching for all of us as well. Mastrodamas getting outside the Nashville Predators bubble and even the Western Conference for just a second. One of the stories that's just taken over in the last several days, and it's been going on for a while, and we've talked about it a little bit here, a little bit there, but I want to really get on the record with this one, and it's the Carolina Hurricanes and their celebrations after the games. Now, you've been over in that part of the country for a little while now, and you've covered the Canes for us. You've gone over to the rink, and you've watched the Preds play there a few times, and I know that you enjoy what's going on over there a little bit. This was a team that was, or Kansas City, or Seattle, or Quebec, or wherever else was getting ready to have them. The Carolina Hurricanes were about to become the first ever Stanley Cup championship franchise to move to a different market. Now, what they have done is start to create their own identity with their fan base, and they are having a hell of a good time doing it. It's exactly the same thing the Nashville Predators did out here. Create your own brand, your own identity, and then just let it grow and run wild. What we see now, the Carolina Hurricanes are over there competing, playing pretty decent hockey, and they are also drawing a ton of fans and filling the seats and selling lots of merch. Mastrodamas, I love when the old hockey guard, the dusty ones who think that all you're supposed to do for hockey is open the rink and announce what time the game starts and it'll just fill itself up and that's it. No clapping, no cheering, no noise. Just come watch hockey and then go home. Whenever they're upset, I'm happy because I love all this stuff. I love the celebration. I love the fun. I love the fact that every time you see one of those celebration videos, what do you see? Fans standing and joining along with it because those are people that are paying the tickets to come. Look, Mastrodamas, it was only like 15 years ago that going center ice and raising the stick was some brand new novel concept that seemed outrageous to some, and now it has progressed over the years to different types of recognitions of the fans, and this is just one more thing. Carolina is doing this at home. They're having a great time doing it, and guys like Don Cherry and everybody else need to just give it up already and let them do their thing. Mastrodamas, your opinion on all of that?
I think it's rather ironic that a guy who dresses like Don Cherry has the gall and the nerve to challenge somebody about drawing attention to themselves in a goofy way. It's like, dude, look in the mirror for a change. I mean, give me a break. We consider ourselves old school guys as far as how long we've been watching the game. But you know what? Love Carolina, that the fact that they're doing this and they're actually selling tickets, they're selling a lot of merchandise, like you said, because I want this team to stick around in this area because, quite frankly, it's the closest I'm going to get to watching a Predators game on a regular basis. Sure seemed like they were going to end up getting moved out. Any one of those cities, Quebec was a big talk there about 2 years ago, but they're selling tickets now. They're having fun doing it, and they've created their own identity, like you said. It's the anti-establishment, basically, identity for the National Hockey League, and you know what? Embrace it, guys. I mean, good grief. You're going out there playing 82 games a season. It's a grind for 6 months just to make it in the playoffs, and then you got to play another 2 months to try to win a Stanley Cup. It's absolutely mentally draining on the players, physically draining. Obviously, they play through all these kinds of injuries. They're going to have some fun out there. Let them have some fun. And they're engaging in the fan base. That's the biggest thing. They're drawing in those fans. If for no other reason, some new fans show up, I want to see if they win. I want to see what they're going to do next live. You sell out your games. You're having fun. And quite frankly, they're playing damn good hockey right now. I mean, they've won 6 of their last 7 games and fighting for a playoff spot with the mighty Pittsburgh Penguins to try to get in the playoffs. So good for them. Good for the National Hockey League. And you know what? Don Cherry, go away, man. It's okay. You know, take off the Scrooge hat and learn to have a little bit of fun out there.
Mastrodamus, when people are sticking around after the game to enjoy and celebrate with their team, that means something is going absolutely right. And I hope the Carolina Hurricanes not only make the playoffs, I hope they go on a run over there in the Eastern Conference. And I hope that the celebrations get more and more elaborate and they have more and more fun doing it. And I would love nothing more than that. Like I said, I am all for having fun. It is a game. It is a sport. It is a glorious game out there. And there's no reason why you can't enjoy it a little bit. The fans sure do enjoy coming to see it, so why not participate, enjoy all of it. Carolina Hurricanes, you keep being you. You keep doing you. The Nashville Predators, they'll keep doing what they've been doing all this time. They've been changing things up forever, and if you want boring hockey, go to Toronto, where they just open the doors and everybody sits on their hands for 2.5 hours, and it is one of the most sterile environments you'll ever see. Northeast, Canadian hockey, all of it. It's so boring. Nobody can even afford to go to games up there anymore. So when you do get to go, it's too serious. I mean, why would you even want to be in those environments? Mastrodamus, love talking pucks with you, my friend. We'll be doing this again on Thursday morning live at 5 a.m. because it's a game day on Twitter at GreekGoalie35. A man so far ahead in the future. He's told you everything that's going to happen tonight between the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars. He is, of course, Mastrodamus. Thank you, my friend.
Charlie, we'll talk again on Thursday so we can vent.
Mastrodamus right there, bringing it strong. I love when guys bring strong opinions, and that's why the Renegades of Puck are in the trench with me here on Predneck Nation Radio. Remember, give us a like on Facebook and a follow on Twitter. Check us out. Give us a little bit of support and give this radio station some support. Some of the individual hosts, they are tremendously supportive of hockey coverage here on this radio station and in Nashville overall. So make sure you're supporting them. Make sure you're supporting this radio station, because for over 20 years, the Nashville Predators have been featured now here on this radio station. It's been a very important piece of coverage here at WNSR, and I have been in charge of covering the Nashville Predators on that beat for almost a decade now here at Nashville Sports Radio. Predneck Nation Radio came along a little bit after that, but I've always been here as the Predators correspondent. If you ever wanted to give me a follow for any reason, at CrazyCharlie615 is how you can find me individually, but I don't really tweet a whole lot about hockey because I put my thoughts out here on the radio, where the radio station pays me to do so. Speaking of getting paid, time to take a break right here on Predneck Nation Radio. I am your host. I'm your captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Mastrodamus just wrapped up the second period. Felder going to get the start in the third period. We're talking all things Nashville Predators hockey right here next on Nashville Sports Radio.
This is Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators. Welcome to Smashville. Keep listening to Predneck Nation Radio, or you will be body checked.
Welcome back in Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host, your captain, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Ryan Johansson bringing us back from break right there. Preds leading scorer after 59 games played, 11 goals, 42 assists. That's good for 53 points on the season. Also, 1938 time on ice per game and 13 power play assists all the season. Even a shorthanded assist. Ryan Johansson, a world-class distributor all the way around. Nashville Predators in Dallas tonight to wrap up the regular season series against the Stars. Central Division hockey. Good rivalry hockey. The third time these two teams have played in the month of February. So you know it's going to be highly contested and emotional down there in Dallas tonight as we have the full year buildup to the Nashville Predators and the Dallas Stars playing in the Cotton Bowl in the Winter Classic. Here to talk to me about all things Nashville Predators hockey, you can find him on Twitter at Brandon_Felder. He is, of course, the OG of hockey coverage when it comes to Nashville Sports Radio. He's been there since the very beginnings. He is, of course, Brandon Felder. How are you doing today, my friend?
Good morning. Good morning, Charlie. I'm doing well. I trust you are also.
I am. Brandon, got a game day. Got the Dallas Stars tonight. Always look forward to Central Division hockey and for the Nashville Predators an opportunity to start getting things corrected a little bit, as it should be a good week as far as set up on the schedule after tonight in Dallas. They come home and face LA, Colorado, and Edmonton, and that should be some really good tune-ups heading into some big divisional games. But before we get ahead to all of that, let's go back to the weekend, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on the Vegas Golden Knights game. The Nashville Predators won 2 out of 3 in the regular season. This road trip, they just did not have the effort out there. UC Saros did everything he could, facing 50 shots to keep them in this game. But overall, it was just a letdown night out there in Vegas for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I mean, it was what I would call a write-off. You write that one off and you move on to the next one and you just never talk about it again, basically. And that's probably what the way the coaches and the staff are gonna and the players are gonna talk about it if they were forced to. And some nights the ice is just tilted and you just don't have it. And I think this season the Predators more than last season for sure have had nights like that. But at the same time, I mean, I think what I've found at least over this course of this season is if a team is going to forecheck hard and has speed, they're going to get a lot of chances against the Predators, and that kind of fits the identity of the Vegas Golden Knights last year and this year. And so when you get down to it, I mean, we've been talking for a few weeks now about the defensive effort and the ability to limit shots, limit goal scoring opportunities, and limit goals against, and it was not there for them on a Saturday night in Vegas.
Vegas won't blow your mind statistically or necessarily in name recognition, but when they get out there and they get skating, that transition game and that forecheck can beat just about any team in the league, and the Nashville Predators certainly suffered at that the other night in Vegas. Let's get into a couple of different things, Brandon. The Nashville Predators, of course, are going to be heavily talked about over the next several days with the trade deadline quickly approaching, and yesterday might have been the kickoff of the beginning of the insanity. And I wanted you to just give people kind of a public service announcement, because you've been through this so many times leading up to the trade deadline. When it comes to these rumors, and especially when it comes to sources, would you tell people what they should be looking for so perhaps there's not quite so much overreaction? Then we'll get into the particular incident from yesterday that seemed to set everybody off. But let people know what they should be looking for when they're following along and they're trying to get the best and at least most accurate information.
Well, the reality is most stuff for the Predators doesn't leak until it's just about to happen, if we're being very honest. You don't hear about, hey, this move is about to occur days ahead of time or hours ahead of time. It's usually 1 hour ahead of time, if that. And it's usually from a source like Bob McKenzie or Elliot Friedman or Darren Dreger or I think Nick Kiprios is the one that broke Subban for Weber. And so usually the sources are Canadian, because that's usually where the leak comes from. It doesn't come from Nashville. So I think the biggest thing that people need to realize is, you know, there's certain sources to be trusted. And especially if you're on Twitter, you definitely want to click a profile, make sure you're not getting, you know, hoodwinked by a fake profile that has just been recently created. And but the biggest thing to realize is that, you know, if you have to look at, you know, does this actually make sense? Or is it a trade that just seems outlandish? Or is it a rumor that just seems like maybe an agent? And this is what people don't realize a lot of times, is some rumors, they're literally agents trying to create interest in a player. Some rumors are teams trying to drive the price up on other teams. There's lots of mind games that are played behind the scenes by using the rumor mill guys. And what they do is, you know, a GM will float a rumor to a rumor mill guy that, hey, you know, that person probably knows that, hey, this rumor might not be fully true, but I'm going to run with it because I know down the road that same GM or same agent or whoever is giving him this rumor is going to give him some actual 100% truth stuff as a favor. So there's lots of hidden agendas.
And there's no doubt that right now with the Western Conference, especially the Winnipeg Jets and the Nashville Predators competing for a division title, that the general managers, agents, everyone knows that there is a bit of an arms race between the two teams. So upping the price is going to be beneficial to their clients at all times. So what you just mentioned there are just things I think people should be cautious of. And something like what happened yesterday, Brandon, when it was revealed that Matt Duchene owns a house here in Nashville. So, of course, that automatically means either he's going to be traded to the Nashville Predators before the trade deadline, or he's going to sign here as a free agent, right? It's a guarantee. It's locked in. He owns a house here, Brandon.
Well, yeah, so A. Matthew Duchene, we assume it's the same one, but we don't know, has purchased a construction of a condo. And the thing that gets me is people don't realize is, like, you know, it's people who are rich, like, they like to spend money, but at the same time, they like to make money. And that's how they stay rich, is they invest in things that make them more money. And so, you know, one of the things that's very popular amongst players apparently is, let's invest in property and do Airbnb until we need the property. And we know for a fact that Matt Duchene has come out multiple times and said he loves city Nashville because he loves country music. So it would make sense if I was a very rich person and I particularly liked the city that I would just buy a property as an investment. And when I wanted to go there to visit in my off time or off season, I would be able to stay there. When I don't, I can rent it out and just make profit off of it. And so that's the part that just, it really gets me, is people think, oh, this is immediately a reason to think that he's definitely coming here. Well, yeah, he might be coming there to visit, but it doesn't mean that he's going to be a permanent fixture by any stretch. No, look, could we end up being wrong on this? Of course. But in general, from my life experience, this does not mean necessarily that, oh, this player is going to be here all the time. As somebody reported to me on Twitter, like, Vic Bartley owns property in Nashville. Does that mean that he's coming back to the Predators? No, it just means that he likes investment property and likes to make a profit and have a source of income.
Lots of hockey players have figured out that this is a great place to buy land and buy property, whether they've played for the Predators or not. We just saw Ryan Smith purchase the house in the area. Does that mean he is going to be the Nashville Predators' next big acquisition? No. I understand that Duchesne could very well be a Nashville Predator within the next week or when it comes to free agency, but just because it was uncovered that he owns an Airbnb rental property does not guarantee that he will be playing there. And Brandon, I think you said it best. Rich people like to spend money and they also like to make money. And Nashville right now is a place where you can do both of those things without any issue. All right. Now we move on to what's going to actually happen over the next week. Brandon, your approach to this trade deadline and also your expectations upcoming over the next several days.
Well, I try to temper my expectations because over the years and years and years of trade deadlines as the Nashville Predators, you either end up somewhat overwhelmed, or you're over the moon, or a fax machine didn't work. So it just depends. And so for me in particular, I temper my expectations. But in terms of what the Predators need, they've talked about depth scoring over and over and over. So I definitely think that's a cause for concern. So we need to, if you are a fan of the Predators, you're going to want to see them at least add a winger or some type of depth piece that can make a center move to the wing if had to be. But I would say most likely you're going to see a left or a right winger, and that's if Poile can find the right move. Now, at the end of the day, I do think that David Poile, he'll kick the tires on a few things for sure, but if it doesn't come through, he'll just say, well, I'm happy with the roster that I have. I would say that that's a bit of a scary proposition, just because of the way that this team has played and their inconsistencies. And, you know, one of the things I was thinking about the other night with the Vegas game is how many times last year this same roster would go into a game and they get down a couple goals and you'd think, ah, no problem, they'll just rally. They rally all the time. They come back and they score points and they find ways to force overtime and win games that they shouldn't. And this season it does not feel like this team has that particular trait. They don't have that particular edge to them. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, the Brian Boyle move, I think, has been a positive move, and I think it will be going down the road. The McLeod move, as I said at the time, I was dumbfounded. I don't get it. I don't know that I ever will. I mean, it's great that the players can smile in the locker room and be happier about the locker room, but, you know, they're going to be their happiest if they're winning games. So I think the trade deadline is going to be – it's going to be an interesting one to watch this particular year because, as crazy as it sounds, I just – you know, if the Predators add something, even then I'm not sure that it's going to get them past what Winnipeg's going to produce. And so more than anything, it's going to be interesting to see what other teams in the Western, especially the Central Division, do at this trade deadline to see if they're going to be a true arms race, or is it going to be one of those where, you know, Nashville has traded – so many times over the last few years, the prospect pool is not as deep as it was, and the draft pick pool is not as deep as it was. And so I can't help but wonder if maybe David Poile says, I might need to sit this one out and not pay such a deep price because I'm not convinced by this roster.
There's also a lot more teams this year, Brandon, than we might expect in these races for these players, as the wild card positioning in the Western Conference has a lot of different competitors. I mean, with the Blackhawks going on that recent hot streak and now having 59 points in Colorado and Minnesota, 59 and 60. I mean, the Central Division itself, the bottom half is where it's become a lot more interesting as of late. The St. Louis Blues have won 10 games in a row and vaulted all the way from down at last place into third place. place, which is a guaranteed playoff spot in the Central. So right now, you've got Winnipeg in first and Nashville in second, and you've had that pretty consistently for a while now. St. Louis jumps into third with Dallas in fourth. Minnesota and Colorado seem to be fading here in the second half of the season. Chicago's been in last place virtually all season long, but they're still hanging right around 500. So this Central Division is going to be a really, really interesting race, I think. And perhaps the bottom part of the division might be where it gets the most exciting over the last 20 games.
Well, I'll say this. The volatility in the Central this year, really in the Western Conference, is really, really fascinating. Minnesota's had some injuries here lately, and they've cratered. I mean, they have fallen off the face of the earth. And there's lots of fans over there that think their new GM, Paul Fenton, formerly an assistant general manager with the Nashville Predators, he might just start selling left and right because there's very little evidence of recent days that that team is going to be able to turn it around. St. Louis has found a rookie goaltender that is just as hot as hot can be in terms of his performances. Now, as we all know, that you have to wonder, okay, how long does that ride out? We've seen, for instance, in years past, like a Cam Talbot in Edmonton, well, now formerly of Edmonton. And so there's your story right there. Chicago has been, it's been fascinating that they have picked things up. Admittedly, their defense is still not great, as evidenced by last night's contest where they snuck by the Ottawa Senators in a traditional 8-7 game. And so it's really been fascinating if you really get right down to it. I mean, we thought Colorado was going to go into the season with a better year than last year, potentially, and here they are. They might not even make the playoffs to be able to force somebody into six games in the first round. And I'll say this, Charlie, I think the first-round matchups this year throughout the NHL are going to be some of the most fascinating first-round matchups in a long time, because I think it's going to really come down to teams that have had Stanley Cup designs and are really solid, but we'll see how they track down the stretch as they try to rest players and things of that nature, versus teams that have been scrapping and clawing since the turn of the calendar year to really even get into the playoffs and have some real momentum. So it's going to be a very fascinating playoffs once we get there.
After tonight, 20 games to go for the Nashville Predators. They've played the most games in the Western Conference so far this season. Overall tonight in the Central, a light night. Toronto is at St. Louis, and Anaheim is at Minnesota. And, of course, Nashville is in Dallas. Brandon, we'll be talking about it Thursday. We'll be recapping this game against the Stars, and we'll preview that three-game homestand. It sets up nicely for the Nashville Predators. L.A., Colorado, Edmonton at Bridgestone Arena. The Preds have had a habit of playing down to competition, but with 20 games to go in the season, this is a week where they've got a chance to start tuning up some things and getting some things very much right, and maybe putting a little bit more pressure on the Winnipeg Jets ahead of them in the standings. I look forward to talking to you about all those things on Thursday. You can find him on Twitter at Brandon_Felder, the OG of hockey coverage here on Nashville Sports Radio when it comes to talking Preds hockey. He is, of course, Brandon Felder. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you, Charlie. Everybody, enjoy your hockey tonight. Defense first, lots of shots. Bury some pucks, and let's see what happens, because Dallas has offense to burn, and so it could be a really wild game. Everybody enjoy it.
Brandon Felder right there, Mostradamus in the second period. And you know me, I'm your host and your captain, Crazy Charlie Sonny, the Renegades of Puck, all in the trench this morning. Before the sun even decided to peek through a cloud, we've already gone a full 60, and we've gone all the hard areas. Remember, live at 5 on game days, Encore presentations at 6, just like you are hearing today. Thank you so much to Johnny Ballpark Franks for giving us our traditional time slot of 6 p.m. right before the Nashville Predators game gets started. Thank you so much to Jay Hinson for being our afternoon producer when it comes to the replays of Predneck Nation Radio. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sonny. Remember, you can always give us a like on Facebook and a follow on Twitter at Predneck Nation. PredneckNation.com will take you straight to get all the information about the Renegades of Puck and how you can listen to the show in an on-demand world, because we know you're very busy even with two different time slots. You're always welcome to listen at your leisure on SoundCloud or on iTunes. We sure do appreciate each and every one of you out there. Remember, if you've got the fire, you've got the fury, you've got the passion, well, I know for sure that you are a Renegade of Puck. So jump on in this trench with us. Support Predneck Nation. Support Nashville Predators coverage when it comes to the radio, when it comes to television, when it comes to just about anywhere. Not every source is as good as we are. Not every source is as entertaining as we are. But I encourage you to support each and every one of them out there, especially the ones just getting started. We'll always always try to give them a little bit of love right here, as once we were in the same position, so we try to encourage everyone out there. Take a look, give a listen, enjoy the product. You never know who the next great personality is going to be when it comes to talking about, writing about, or filming, or taking pictures of the Nashville Predators. So make sure you're paying attention to each and everyone out there and supporting the hockey community at large. It's a fantastic and growing hockey community here in Middle Tennessee, and I am so proud to be a small part of that. I'm your host, and I'm your captain, Crazy Charlie Zerny. Thank you so much for listening to Predneck Nation Radio. We'll be back on Thursday morning live at 5 a.m. We'll be recapping tonight's game in Dallas, and we will be previewing the game against the L.A. Kings. Nashville Predators looking to keep the pressure on the Winnipeg Jets for the Central Division race, and also looking to keep some separation with the rest of the pack. Central Division hockey tonight in Dallas, the full year build-up to the Cotton Bowl, where the Preds will take on the Dallas Stars in the Winter Classic, the fifth of five regular season meetings, and the third time in just a couple of weeks this month that these teams have met. I expect emotional and physical buy-in from the Nashville Predators tonight. Close out that quick two-game road trip and get on home with those 2 points. I'm your host and Captain Crazy Charlie Sony. You've been listening to Predneck Nation Radio right here on Nashville Sports Radio.